Today's shiur masech de bava basra daf pei gimel, and we will begin on daf pei gimel amar aleph, 8 lines from the top. Ukrav Yosef moiloi tanan. To quickly review what we discussed in the previous shiur, we've been learning that the Mishnah taught us that if somebody sells 2 trees, that means the buyer only has a right to the produce of the tree. Whereas if somebody buys 3 trees, he becomes the owner of those trees. But as we began to discuss at the end of the previous year, just because you buy 3 trees doesn't mean you become the owner of all the property in between those 3 trees. Obviously, if there's a very vast area between those 3 trees, does that mean you become the owner of all that area? Obviously not. On the other hand, if the three trees are very close together, then it's also an issue because those trees will obviously not be able to exist long-term in such a cramped situation. So the Gemara quoted a machlokes of Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef, what is the shear, the minimum and the maximum? Rav Yosef's opinion was 4 amos is the minimum area between the trees and 8 is the maximum. Rav Nachman doubled. Rav Nachman said 8 is the minimum, 16 is the maximum. And the Gemara quoted a Mishnah corroborating Rav Nachman's opinion. As we discussed, the Mishnah spoke about an area of 2 trees with 16 amos in between the trees, and we spoke about the bending of the trees to keep those 16 amos between the trees completely fallow, that it should not turn into a kerem, that we should not have a problem of klai, which the Gemara said is a clear proof that the halacha follows Rav Nachman's opinion, not Rav Yosef's opinion. Ask the Gemara, Ukrav Yosef mi loitanan, do we not have a Mishnah that supports Rav Yosef's opinion? Doesn't the Mishnah say, Ramei Rav Shimon Omer, Hanateyas Kama Shmoina Amos al Shmoina Amos, if there's a Karen with 8 amos in between the trees, that prevents that area from being a Karen. And the halacha is muta havi zera l'sham. You could bring other zera to that area because it's not considered a kerem. And by bringing different type of seed there, you will not have a situation of kalei hakerem. So Al Gemara said yesterday that the reason we follow Rav Nachman's opinion is because there's a Mishnah that quotes his opinion. Here we have a Mishnah quoting Rabbi Yosef's opinion. So why is that Mishnah any better than this Mishnah? Says the Gemara, a very important point. Afila hocha maisa adif. That Mishnah didn't just say an opinion. It quoted a story where in Tzalmon, there was 16 amos between the trees. So it's not just an opinion cited, it's an opinion backed up with a story. And as the Mefarshim say, very important concept, whenever something is backed up by a halacha lemaisa, that's the reason to follow that. That makes it more authoritative. And the Noida Behuda explains what makes it more authoritative. He says as follows. He says, of course, whenever people are learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, they have HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. But when somebody needs to pask in a shayla, halacha lemaisa, and based on the psak that I'm going to give, that's what you're going to do. So there's a special siyata d'shmaya given to the Rav who paskins that shayla. And therefore, the Rav who paskined that way had that siyata d'shmaya. And since that Mishnah didn't just quote an opinion, it also showed that it was used la'aloch l'maisa, which brings along, as I just said, that siyata d'shmaya, that must be the right position to follow. In fact, I saw an interesting story from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Be'er Mayim Chaim said that somebody once came to him, in our world it isn't that frequent this to happen, with a question on a drumstick of a chicken, if the chicken was a treifa. The Be'er Mayim Chaim looked at the drumstick, and he said that this drumstick is fine. But he said for some reason, unbeknownst to him, he asked that person, could you bring me the rest of the chicken? The rest of the chicken wasn't where there was a shayla. So the person brought the rest of the chicken, and when he looked at the rest of the chicken, then he saw that the chicken was indeed treif. He says, that's the siyata d'shmaya that a rov, I guess a rov who acts l'shem shemayim, gets that if he would have said, if he would have just looked at the drumstick, he would have said, you have a kosher chicken. But it wasn't a kosher chicken. That's siyata d'shmaya that a rov has. But then Tosfos asks, how could you ever prove something from a story? What do we say? We learned at the end of the shiur yesterday that the story was an incident where there were 16 amos between the trees. So it's a raya that if there's 16 amos between the trees, it's not a kerem. Ask Tosfos, and maybe if there would have been 15 amos between the trees, it would have also been fine. What's the raya from the story? The story happened to have been 16 amos. So before I say Tosfos teretz, I'll tell you another teretz that the Rishonim suggest. Because as we learned that episode that the Gemara quoted, the Gemara didn't just say, in fact, we tried to explain this to the best of our ability, the Gemara didn't just speak about 16 amos being left open between the trees. The Gemara also spoke that they bent the trees. They bent the trees away so that the 16 amos should be completely open. If 16 amos is more than what you really need, why did they have to go through the trouble of bending the trees? They could have left the trees hanging over the area. The fact that they went out of their way to leave that 16 amos completely empty is a raya that the 16 amos you can't have less than 16 amos. That's one teretz I saw in the Rishonim. Tosfos, however, says a different teretz. He says nothing is coincidental in life. Tosfos says if this person who was planting his kerem, was planting his vineyard, he left 16 amos between the trees. Why did he leave 16 amos? Why didn't he leave 15? Why didn't he leave 17? It must be that before he went to plant his vineyard, he went to the Rabbanon. He went to the Rabbanon and he asked them, if I want to avoid a problem of Kaliya Kerem, what should I do? And it was based on the instruction of the Rabbanim that he specifically left 16 amos. It was based on the instructions of the Rabbanim that he left specifically 16 amos, so to write it has to be 16 amos. Because then Tosfos adds very powerful words. It's worthwhile to read the words of Tosfos. The Tosfos afilo hakamai siraf. Vishlem desfaruhu, dapi chamasu. It makes sense to say that he did what he did, that they left the 16 amos between the trees based on the instruction of the Chachamim. And now Tosfos adds, v'koshi mashiyo yuchoyim lahat lo yitiroi. What is Tosfos saying? Tosfos saying, so he did it based on the instruction of the Rabbanim. So maybe the Rabbanim told him 16, but they could have told him 15. They could have told him 14. Says Tosfos that if the Rabbanim could have said 15, they wouldn't say 16. Why? Because the job of Rabbanim is koich da teira adif. So if 15 is adequate, no Rav who acts properly is going to say 16. So I saw the Shem Tzion Balocha discusses at length this concept, important concept, that Rabbanim have to do what's right, but not be machmer. Why? So he essentially says two reasons. He says one reason is daya mashasra Torah. We have to follow what the Torah says. When the Torah already tells us what's mutter and asr. It is not our objective in life to find new isurim. The Torah already established what's mutter and asr. But then he quotes a fantastic shilas and tshuva mahava. He says as follows. He says, in a situation where the Rabbanan will be machmer, if the Rabbanan are machmer, where it's supposed to be mekel. For example, if the Rabbanan will tell you, you'll have to leave 16 amos, and you could have only, and halachically 15 amos was enough. What does that involve? That involves an issue ben odom l'chaveri, where I have to now give up an amma that I didn't have to. On the other hand, if the Rabbanim will tell me to leave 16 amma, we really are supposed to leave 17 amma. What is that an aveir of? That's an aveir ben adam l'makom. He says it's a lot easier, says the Shal Tshuva Mahava, to do an aveir, we have to be careful how we say this, it's a lot less serious to do an aveir ben adam l'makom versus doing an aveir ben adam l'chaveri. Why? Because when you do an aveir ben adam l'makom, not that Chas V'Shalom is suggesting anybody should do aveir ben adam l'makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Av Rachman. He'll be Meichel me. Especially if I did it on the guidance of the Rabbanim. But when I do an Aveir Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, it's I harmed the next person. That's already much harder to get mechila, particularly if you don't know to ask that you need mechila. And therefore, Rabbanim are more concerned about averus v'adam l'chaveri versus ben adam l'makayim. And therefore, Taisa says, "Kamash yochel lahat elayitirei." Continues the Gemara. Bishlam l'Rabbi Yosef, leader of Shimon. So now we have successfully identified, according to Rabbi Yosef, Shimon l'Mufuzarim. We know where Rabbi Yosef gets the number 8 as being the maximum. B'Shimon l'Ritzufim. And we also know, as the Gemara will identify in a moment, where Rabbi Yosef gets the number 4 as Amos as being the minimum. And the Gemara explains itself. Mufuzarim Hadamar, we just quoted the Mishnah that says 8 Amos is already considered that it's not a Karen. Ritzufim, and that 4 Amos is already considered too close. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Karim and Atua Pox Medalat Amos, if there's a Karim that is planted with the trees are less than 4 amos from each other, that cramped, and a kerem, the Rav Shimon. It's really not considered a kerem. The Chachamim disagree, and they say kerem, because the Chachamim say, Roinus and Tsoim Kil Einam. The halacha views that those trees will not long term remain there, because they can't remain there. And as the Rishonim explain, there isn't really a fundamental machlokes in this Mishnah between the Tanakam, between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. They both agree that if the trees are too cramped together, you don't have a kerem. The difference is, how does the halacha look when they're that cramped together? According to Rav Shimon, you might have done something foolish by planting your trees that cramped, and it's not a kerem, but you're going to leave it, and that's why it's not a kerem. Chachamim say this can't sustain long term, and therefore the halacha already views it as if it's not going to be there. Therefore, the Rishonim explain, even according to the Chachamim, if it wouldn't be in one row, but rather you have two parallel rows with a tree in between them, with there, it's not that obvious you're going to uproot the tree, but the tree in between is less than Dal Amos from the trees on the side, the Chachamim will agree in a Kerem. Again, the Rishonim also discuss, why is it so vital to know if an area is a Kerem or not? One is obvious, as we've been learning all along in our shiurim, because if it's a kerem, there's a din of kalaya kerem, how much you have to distance different seeds, different zera from this area. If it's not a kerem, there's a much lesser of amount you have to distance it. As I mentioned in the previous year, a machloikis is only 3 or 6 tfalkim. If it's a kerem, you have to distance anything else 4 amas. Another reason to know if an area is a kerem or not, as we know, the Torah says, the mi ish, ashenot the kerem, v'loy chilaloy. If somebody planted a new vineyard and never had the opportunity to enjoy the fruit of that vineyard, yelech v'yoshev lebeisai. If he's drafted to the army, he doesn't go out to battle. So now we need to know, is it a kerem? Then you don't go to war. If it isn't a kerem, you'll go to war. So clearly this Mishnah identified that 4 amos is already considered the minimum. So Rabbi Yosef's opinion is very well documented. We have a Mishnah that says 4 is the minimum. We have another Mishnah that says 8 is the maximum. However, Elul, Rav Nachman, Alib, Rabbanon, Rav Nachman's opinion, Mifuzarim, Shaminalei, that the Shir is 16 Amos, that we identified the story of Tzalman that we just quoted. Mifuzarim, Shaminalei, Ritzufim, Mishvinalei, where do we have the basis that it should be 8 Amos, the minimum? Answers the Gemara, interesting concept. Svaruhu. It's logical to say that, says the Gemara. Middle Rav Shimon Palga, Rabbanan Nami Palga. According to Rav Shimon, what is the ratio? The ratio is 8 as the maximum and 4 as the minimum. What is the ratio between 4 and 8? Half. So we apply the same mathematical ratio according to Rav Nachman. If we have established that according to Rav Nachman, the maximum is 8, is 16 amos, what is the half of 16? 8. And that's why we understand that according to Rav Nachman, it'll be 8. I'm a Rava. The Rava takes, Rava comes to Pasuk in the Shaila Halacha L'maisa. Hilchsa mi'ab v'amis v'tsheish esrei. The Halacha is that 4 is the minimum and 16 is that maximum. And the Rishonim explain what is the basis for Rava's opinion. They say as follows. Even though the Gemara, a moment ago, told us a svara why according to Rav Nachman, the minimum should be 8, not 4, It wasn't that the Gemara found a Mishnah saying that. The Gemara said a Svara. Rava says a Svara, as we said in Yeshiva, comes the Chayv Dingin. You could always argue on a Svara. And therefore, Rava prefers to follow what a Mishnah says explicitly. The only Mishnah that we find an explicit ruling is four Amos. Therefore, he says four and 16 should be the numbers. And says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi the Rava, Kama Yeh Mekuravim, what is the minimum? Arba Amos. The Kama Yeh Murchakim, what is the maximum? Sheshesrei, 16. Hareza Kona Sakarka, if it's an area between 4 and 16 Amos that you bought 3 trees in, Kona Karka Vesalona Shebeneyem. You have become the owner of the property and the trees in between those, in all the trees there. The fikach yovish ilon anixas, if the tree will dry up or get cut, yeshloi, he's entitled to replant the tree. Karka pachs mikan, if you have less than 4 amos between the trees, or yesal kan, or you have more than 16 amos between the trees, or shlocham zachazeh, or you did not buy all 3 trees at the same time, even though they are within the proper dimensions, the halacha will be, le'reza le'kona lo'yisa karka, lo'yisa lo'nishman, then you don't become the owner of the property or the trees, or the other trees, le'fikach yavash ilan or nixas, and therefore in such a situation, as we learned in the Mishnah, were a tree to die, eloi karka, you don't have the right to, you're not the owner of the property, and you can't replant the tree. A number of points to be made. First of all, interesting machlokes rishonim. It's clear, as the Brisa just taught us, as actually we learned in the Mishnah, there's a very, sometimes you become the owner of the property, and sometimes you don't become the owner of the property. Best examples when you don't become the owner of the property is when you bought only 2 trees, but they're not within the proper dimensions, as our Brisa just identified. So, the rishonim debate, well, be the halacha, you bought a tree, so if the tree dies, so the Brisa is very clear, the Mishnah is very clear, you have no right to replant that tree. But what would a halacha to be if the tree is a kind of tree, a strawberry bush is a good example, every year it withers away and it regenerates. Is a tree that's going to certainly regenerate considered dead, that you don't have a right to the next year's tree, or a tree that's going to regenerate not considered dead? Machloikas Rishonim. Another interesting Machloikas Rishonim, as we start wrapping up the sugya, is our Mishnah and the Gemara that we've learned speak about selling. Selling trees, 2 trees, 3 trees, whatever area they're in. What the halacha if you're magdish trees? Will the same halacha apply to when you're magdish 2 or 3 trees as when you sell trees? That too is a subject of Machloikas Rishonim. But then, there's an interesting issue raised by the Rishonim. Al Gemara just said that if I bought 3 trees within the prescribed area, which the Brisa identified between 4 and 16 Amma, I own the karka, which is very understandable. But now the Brisa added one more concept. I own the trees that be also here. Ask the Rishonim, and this will become clearer on Amud Beis of Mitzvah Shem, that if there's trees in between, so shouldn't that lessen the area between the trees? And now it's Ritzufim, they're too close, and then I shouldn't own any trees. Why aren't those little trees in between the big trees serve to lessen that I may not have the right dimension? In other words, let's say I have 1 tree here, and the other tree here, and there's 4 to 16 amos between the 2 trees. But if I have another tree right in the middle, so that changes the entire picture. So I saw a number of terutzim in the Rishonim. The 2 simple terutzim that the Rishonim suggest is that the trees that the Brisa refers to that are in the middle of these big trees are either very small trees, are either Yiloni Srak, non-fruit-bearing trees, and therefore they're not considered significant lahalocha. But then I saw the Ritva, says another Teretz. He says, if I bought 3 trees, but isn't just I bought 3 trees. The 3 trees that I bought are very identified. Tree number 1, tree number 2, tree number 3. So then all the other trees in this area are not counted. Because I went, because when the deal was done between the buyer and the seller, it was specified it's these three trees to the exclusion of all other. So those are the three trees that I look at in determining the area. And the halacha will be, if those three trees are within 4 to 16 amos, I become the owner of all the property and any other tree that may be there, even if it's a significant tree. Big kiddush. Continues the Gemara. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, kushumaydid, m'makum katzurumaydid, or m'makum rachufumaydid. We know that a tree is narrower on the bottom, narrower on the top, and wider on the bottom. So Agamar's question is a very simple question. We just identified shiurim, 4 amos, 16 amos. So the question is, from what spot on the tree do we measure? From the bottom, where since it's thicker, you may not have 16 amma. Or from the top, where you may already have 16 amma. Amalei, Rav Gavim, may kosel Rav Ashi, Toshma, the Tanan, Harkuvish of a Geffen, Einam Moided Alam Ikra Sheni. There are many pshatim in the Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. The way the Rashbam explains the Gemara is as follows. As we have been learning, it is essential to know if an area is a kerem. Because once it has a kerem, as I described earlier, certain halachas come into play. The question is, when identify, if I have, it's very common, says the Rashbam, that young vines would be grafted into old trees, because they're very weak still, and they want. So if I have a young vine, and I graft it into another tree, at one point is it considered a separate tree? So the Gemara says, if it's grafted, not into the lowest part of the tree, of the old tree, not into the highest part, but rather into the second from the bottom knot on the tree, that's called a ptak. So that's where we should measure from, as far as this halacha is also concerned, in determining the 16 amos, the 4 amos, whatever amount of amos we need. Others say that the Gemara means a much more simpler shayla. The Gemara is saying, where do you graft? In other words, if I want to graft, the Gemara is giving us gardening advice. If you want to graft, where should you graft? Should you graft all the way on the bottom? Should you graft all the way on the top? Says the Gemara, graft into the middle, and therefore that's the best part of the tree, and that's where you should measure from. Says the Gemara further. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Machlai Shloish Badi Ilan Mahu. This is similar, at least this is the way the Rashbam learns, to Gemara we learned yesterday. We have a tree. And from that tree emerge certain branches. They go underground and then they come up. So now the question, at least according to the Rashbam, is that considered I bought three trees? Since they're all extensions of the original tree, so they may be considered all just one tree. Or since they're separate because they go underground and then re-emerge above ground, they may be considered separate trees. That's how the Rashbam learns the Gemara. That's how we're going to learn the Gemara. The Rambam says the question here is again a question as far as Hilchos Kalei HaKerem. Because as the Mishnayos in Masechet Kloyim teach us, there are a certain number of trees that are a minimum, how many trees you have to have. And here the Gemara is saying that this is the amount of trees you have to have in order to identify that. Shloish Shabadi Ilam Mahu. Amalei Rav Gvimi Beikosla Rav Ashi Toshma. The Braisa says, Hamavrich Gimel Gefonim. If somebody grafts three vines, Vakreim Nirim, and they come out separately, Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik Oimer, Im Yesh Beineyem Midala Amos Vat Shmoina, if they're all within the area of 4 to 8 Amos, Mitztarfim. They're considered as a vineyard. They're considered separate trees. So according to the Rashbam's understanding of the Gemara, what the Gemara is teaching us is, if you would have such a situation where when I bought a tree from you, I bought a tree, and there were besides the tree, two of these extensions, it would be considered I bought three trees, and the halachas of three trees that I own the karka come into play. Another way of learning the Gemara, it's a variation of the Rashbam's pshat, is what would be the halacha, fascinating shaila. If I have a tree, and it has these three badim coming out from it, I didn't buy the tree, but I bought the badim. So all three of these badim are drawing nutrition from this tree. But I didn't even buy that tree. Would it be considered I own three trees with all of the halachas? Or if I don't own the tree, it's not considered I own, if I don't own the main tree, the other trees who are only subsidiary, only live off that main tree, should be insignificant. And the halacha is it's considered that I own all three, that it's considered like I bought three trees with all the halachas that comes with. Continues the Gemara. Bar Papa. Again, as we have been learning, there's very significant nafkamina if I sell you three trees or I sell you two trees. Here, the way I sold you the three trees is two trees and a third tree was on the border. And the way the Rishonim explained, the border, the boundary was elevated from the rest of the field. So the Gemara's question is, since all three trees are not on the same level, perhaps that prevents it from being considered like I sold you three trees. Or still, since I sold you three trees and they're within the prescribed area, it's considered like I sold you three trees. Man, what will be the halacha? Shnai b'toch shloi, v'ech b'toch shel chaveri. Here, and this is the way the Rashbam is going to learn the Gemara. The way the Rashbam learns the Gemara is like this. The Gemara is building this shayla on top of the previous shayla. And if you'll say that when two are in the field and one is on the boundary, it's considered that I sold you three trees. Why will be the halacha now, asked the Gemara, where two trees are my field and I own a field in the neighboring field and I sell you all three of those trees? Do I see, since they're not all in the same field, that's not considered a situation that I sold you three trees? Or, since I sold you three trees, even though they're not in the same own field, doesn't change the din, and it's considered like I sold you three trees. So the way most Rishonim explain this question of the Gemara, they explain it as I just said, that I own two trees in this property, I own another tree in that property, and obviously in that other property that I own the tree, I also own karka. Because if I don't own karka, how could the Gemara be discussing if I sell you the karka? I can't sell you what I don't own. Rather, how do most Rishonim explain the Gemara? I own these three trees. I own the karka. And the Gemara's question is this considered a classical case of selling three trees that you get all the karka or not? But according to this explanation, if I didn't own the karka under the tree in the other field, the question wouldn't be germane. However, the other Rishonim that take the question even deeper. Interesting pshat. I think the Yad Ramah learns this way. He says the way to understand the Gemara's question is as follows. I own two trees in my field. I own a third tree in a neighboring field. Don't own any karka under that tree. What the Gemara is suggesting is if this is halachically considered a situation that I sold you three trees, the din will be that I will now have the obligation of buying karka in my neighbor's field to provide you what I owe you. Because I owe you karka. Chiddush. And the Gemara stays with a teiku. Remains with a question on both of these questions. Continues the Gemara. Bar Rav Ashi, Bar Masha Tafsik. And again, if we follow the Rashbam's explanation of this Gemara, each question we're going to learn now builds on the previous question. Is a bar, is a pit separating the tree considered enough of a significant area that it should separate the trees? And if we'll say that it's not, Amas Hamayim Mahu Shatafsik. A mass of mayim is an irrigation canal, which is much more visible than a bar. And therefore, perhaps, even though a bar doesn't separate the trees, maybe an amass of mayim does separate the trees. Rishus harabim mahu. And if we'll say that a mass of mayim doesn't separate, perhaps rishus harabim does separate. And here we have a machloikis. What is the definition of rishus harabim? Rashbam says that it's a little less than 16 amos, because we know the Rishus HaRabim, once it's 16 amos, if Rishus HaRabim is typically 16 amos wide, and once it's 16 amos wide, we already learned in the previous Gemara that that's already too much of a separation. So it has to be a drop less than 16 amos wide. That's how the Rashbam learns. Tosfos says, from Tosfos it seems this way, the Mashal explains Tosfos, that it's not even 16 amos. It's a lot less than 16 amos, but under certain circumstances, it seems that Tosfos holds, it would still be considered Rishus HaRabim. And now the question is, will it be a Hefsek? And if we'll say that a Rishus HaRabim is not a Hefsik, Rikva Dedikli Mahu. If you have like a row of bushes, since that row of bushes, I don't want to say bushes, more like a row of, like a fence, will that be considered a Hefsik or not? And all these questions the Gemara remains with a Teiku. Continues the Gemara. Why Minei Hilo Mirebi? Ola Erez B'Nehim. If there's an Erez tree between these three trees that I sold you, will that be considered a separator? Ask the Gemara, let's understand what's being asked here. Ola, Rishus D'Day Nafuk. The word Ola means that I bought from you three trees, and after I bought from you three trees, an Erez grew here. So if an Erez grew afterwards, I already own the karka if I buy three trees. So obviously whatever grows there becomes mine. Says Mara, that's not what the Mara meant to ask. Elohai Erez b'nei ma'u. If when I sold you the three trees, there was an Erez between the trees, and as the Rishonim explained, number one, an Erez is a big tree, a cedar tree is a big tree. Furthermore, as we learned earlier, an Erez is a tree that doesn't really give fruit. So since it's a very unique, significant tree, maybe that should be considered a separator of the trees, and it should not be considered that I sold you a unit of three trees. I'm like Kanavakana. Says the Gemara, it's not considered a separator. And if I buy three trees in the prescribed area, even if there's errors in between them, the halach is I become the owner of the three trees. I become the owner of the karka, and by extension, I become the owner of the errors. Kana, I buy the three trees, but Kana, I buy everything else, including the Erez. Why? Explain the Mefarshim, because as I said, an Erez doesn't give fruit, and as I said earlier in the shir, any tree that doesn't give fruit cannot be considered a separator between trees. Continues the Gemara. We speak about three trees. That if I buy three trees, the halacha is that I become the owner of the karka under the trees. Ask the Gemara, Ketzer Aimdim, what is the formation that these three trees are standing in? Rav Amma, Kishura. They're standing in a straight row. Shmuel Amma, Kechatsuva. They're standing like a triangle. Says the Gemara, Mandam, Kishura. According to Mandam, the end of these three trees on a straight row, it's considered a situation that I bought three trees and I become the owner of the character. Koshken Kechatsuva. Why? Because it's easier, explaining the Mefarshim, and it becomes apparent in the Gemara, to get in between the trees when they're in a straight line versus when they're in a triangle fashion. So if, when I bought three trees in a straight row, it's still considered that I own the karka, certainly in a situation where they're formed like a chatzuva, like a triangle, where it's harder to get in between the tree, between the three trees, that I become the owner of the karka. However, says the Gemara, or ma'andam k'tchatzuva, that ma'andam says only when they're shaped like a triangle, where we have the issue that it's hard to get in between the trees. Do I become the owner of the karka? Ava k'shura, if they're straight, even though I bought three trees, and even though they're within the prescribed area that we learned, loy, I don't become the owner of the karka. My tama, mishun demizrayi b'tayu. Since it's so easy to get in between the trees, so even though I bought three trees, I'm not the owner of the karka. Ask the Gemara. Maskalah Rav Hamnuna. Ulamandam k'chatsuva my tama, t'loy mizdar b'tetayu. Why do we differentiate between a triangle formation versus a straight row formation? Because as I said, between in a triangle formation, it's difficult to get in between. And by trees, by straight row, it's easier to get in between. Ask the Gemara. Elamato zoven leitlas higiru maisa. If I buy from you three thorn bushes, the loy mizdar benetayu, where it's difficult to get in between the thorn bushes, because the thorns get in the way. So should we say that the halach is hochanam diyesh lekarka? That if I buy from you three thorn bushes, where it's obviously difficult to get in between those bushes, should I become the owner of the karka? The Mishnah doesn't speak about three bushes. The Mishnah speaks about three trees. Amle hanach lechshivi, hanach shivi. And the way the Rishonim explain is as follows. According to the man, the Omer, who says that they have to be like chatzuva, you need to have two characteristics to become the owner of the karka. One characteristic is that you have to have it difficult to get in between, which that thorn bushes share that characteristic with trees, but it also has to be something significant. What is the definition of something giving significant? Something that gives fruit. Thorn bushes don't give fruit. So even though you have this characteristic that it's difficult to get in between, it doesn't have that other characteristic, and therefore the halacha is that you don't become the owner of the karka. Says the Mishnah. Hamacha rosh behema gasa loimachas reglayim. If somebody sells the head of a large animal, the feet are not included. Machas reglayim. Similarly, if you sold the feet of the behema gasa, loimachas rosh, the head is not included. Machas akana. If you sell the lungs, that's how the Rashbam explains. Taisva says that the kana means the lungs and the heart together. And therefore, in a behema gasa, machas akana loimachas akaveit. If you sell the lungs, the liver is not included, and vice versa. Machas akaveit loimachas akana. If you sell the liver, the lung is not included. Aval bedaka, by behema daka, machas aroish. If you sell the head, machas reglayim, then the reglayim are included, since it's a smaller animal, and the limbs are less significant. Machas reglayim, by machas rosh. If you sell the legs, the rosh is not included. As the Mefarshim explained, a more significant, a more chashva limb could schlep along a less significant limb, and therefore the rosh schleps along the reglayim, but a less significant limb, meaning the reglayim, cannot schlep along the more significant limb, the rosh. Machas akana, if you sell the lung, machas akaveit, the liver comes along. Machas akaveit, if you sell the liver, which is less significant than the lung, machas akaveit, loy machas akana. And as the Rashbam points out, I think it's fairly understandable to us, all these halachas are just what the Mishnah teaches us. But certainly we should always follow the minhag hamakom. As I was learning the Mishnah, I was thinking to myself, in our world, probably the liver is considered a choicer piece of meat than the lungs. So this Mishnah considers the lung more significant than the liver. In our world, probably the liver is considered more significant than the lung. So obviously everything follows the minhag hamakom. A word of introduction to the next part of our Mishnah. We learned the Masechta Bava Metzia at great length, the halachos of Einor. Noah means that if you overcharge or undercharge for the sale of an item. And as we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, there are really three situations of Einor. There's a situation where the over or undercharge was less than a sixth, which the halacha considers insignificant. There's a situation where it was more than a sixth, which everybody agrees is significant and would void the sale. And there's a situation where it's exactly a sixth, where we actually had a machloikis, what the din is. Machloikis tanon. One opinion is that the sale stands, just the amount has to be returned of the overcharge, which is actually the halacha. Our Mishnah, however, doesn't follow that opinion. Our Mishnah follows the opinion that if it was a sale where the overcharge was a sixth, the din would be that you could choose to void the sale or to get your money back. So says the Mishnah, Ava midas v'moichim, the fourth situation where you could sell something. Machloi chitim yofois v'nim tzuroes. I told you I'm selling you high quality wheat, and actually it turns out to be inferior quality. So you, the buyer, were cheated, and you could request that the deal be voided. And as I said, this Mishnah follows the opinion, that's the way most Rishonim learn, that even though this is a situation of a sixth, by a sixth you have a right to void the deal. But as we also learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, how long could you void a deal? Can you void a deal forever? So we learned that you can't do it. The only amount of time that you would show what you bought to your friends, to your colleagues, and they could tell you that you were cheated, do you have a right to void the deal? You can't come back a year later and say, you know what, I want to void the deal. Similarly, Ross, Nimtzis Yafais, I contracted to sell you inferior quality wheat, and I ended up selling you high quality wheat. So there, I, the seller, was the one that was hurt, and they for Moichel Yachalach Sabai. Next case. Ross for Nimtzis Ross, Yafais for Nimtzis Yafais. I contracted to sell you good, and I sold you good, or bad, and I sold you bad. Neither could retract. And the Mefarshim explain, why do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? Isn't it obvious? We made a deal, and the deal was kept. Everything is fine. So Tosfos indeed says, there's no Chiddush in this part of the Mishnah. Just the Mishnah is giving us all the various scenarios. This is one of the scenarios. Other Rishonim, however, suggest that when I said that I'm selling you Yafos, the number of ways of saying this pshat, some say, I said Yafos, I didn't mean Yafos. I only said Yafos, so you should be interested to buy. And you knew that I'm not serious. And then it turns out that I really gave you Yafos. Or vice versa. You, the customer, said, whatever you give me is raws. Why did you say it? Because you always think that you're getting raws, so you should get a better price. And then it turns out to be Yafos, or vice versa. What's the din? So Mishnah teaches us, if you said you're selling good quality, you can't say, well, that's not what I meant. And if you said you're buying poor quality, you can't say afterwards, that's not what I meant. Next case. Shkamtes for Nimtz Levona. I made up them sell you red wheat, and it turns out to be white wheat. Levona of Nimtz Shkamtes. Eitzim Shazayis. I said I'm selling you olive wood. Nimtz Shashikma with sycamore. Shashikma of Nimtz Shazayis. Yayin, I said I'm selling you wine. Nimtz Chaymetz, and it turns out to be vinegar. Chaymetz, Nimtz Yayin. Shneim Yechayim Lachsaban. And as the Rishonim explain, why is there a difference between the first case, Chitin Yafes for Nimtz Ros, where only the cheated individual could retract? Here, both could retract. So Rishonim said there's a very fundamental difference. When I say I'm selling you Yafes for Nimtz Ros, I did sell you Chitin. It's only a question of quality. You were supposed to get one quality, you got another quality. So there, only the cheated party can be the one to break the deal. On the other hand, Yain and Chaimetz, as we're learning in the Gemara, or the other cases, are totally two different meaning. There, it's a much stronger deviation of what the deal was supposed to be, and therefore both parties, the buyer and the seller, have the option to back out.